been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, January the 19th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And we're seeing a little bit of a bounce. You know what? We'll get into it here in a bit after yesterday's big sell-off. But right now, this is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. And I've got Barry Kite in the house, our CFA.
Good morning,
CFA.
Bill.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Good morning. Good morning to our local CFA. We've got it's 67 points now on the Dow, 35,435. The NASDAQ hit some really crucial support yesterday, technically, and it's bouncing off of that. But let's see, the NASDAQ's up about 90, somewhere in there, 127 it looks like right now, with some strength in the semiconductor equipment stocks, which sold off yesterday. S&P's up 24, it's back to 4,600. The small caps are up 0.3%. There's no stopping oil right now, $86.49. You know, when Omicron news broke, it went down to 63. We're up $23 per barrel in just the last couple of weeks there in oil. Gold up $16. Silver, I noticed, had some action yesterday. A little breakout. Keep your eyes on silver right now. It's up 44 cents again today. I think the good news is that the 10-year is down two basis points today. But it hit 1.86 yesterday. That's up 35 basis points since the beginning of the year. And risk asset Bitcoin is up a little bit today, up $985. But it's been under heavy pressure also here recently. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We are getting a little bounce in the market right now. As of right now, I've gone through a lot of individual stocks. It's a bit on the anemic side, Barry. I mean, it's not like, wow, look at this. Microsoft stands out to me a little bit, bouncing pretty good today. ASML a little bit. But across the board, it's not real exciting. I said yesterday at the end of the day, or maybe it was this morning, that the NASDAQ is sitting on really important a really important support level right now from a technical standpoint, and I expected it to bounce off of that, and so far it is. It's up 125 points off of that support level, which is right at about 14,500. Put that one on your refrigerator magnet. 14,500 seems to be very key support right now on the NASDAQ. Below that, you got to go clear down to 14,200. And if it were to break 14,000, it wouldn't be good. Another factoid on the NASDAQ is now down 9.7% from its all-time high of about 2 months ago. So, you know, that's into that correction range. We have had that 10% correction. And in the past, I would say, well, every time the NASDAQ sells off, it's a buying opportunity. This time I would say it's a buying opportunity, but it depends on what you're buying. Here's just an incredible stat that I saw, Barry, today on Seeking Alpha. And they list all of Cathie Wood's holdings of ARK funds. Do you know that every single one of them is down year to date? unbelievable.
It surprised me in terms of just in terms of those high PE names. The market, you know, right now the market doesn't care. You know, they're not looking at the company individually. They're looking across the board. Does it have a high PE? Well, mark it down. you know.
Yes, exactly. And it's also long duration stock. So, I mean, it's not really her. It's the style. It's her style that is just completely out of favor in a rising interest rate environment. Okay, I got to tell my Dabo Sweeney story, okay, real quickly. We have a famous restaurant here in downtown Charleston called Hall's Chop House, all right? And the sons now run it. The dad died a couple years ago. And I know the one son's a Clemson graduate that was there last night, Tommy Hall. And in walks Dabo Sweeney, and one of his assistants sits down right next to the table next to us. And, of course, my wife, I said, that's Dabo Sweeney, who obviously the head coach of the Clemson Tiger football team. 3 national championships. She says, who's Dabo Sweeney? I said, well, he just signed a 10-year extension for $93 million. He's one of the most famous college football. And, you know, around here, college football is king, right, Barry? It's,
oh, yeah.
The saying is football's played on Saturday around here in the SEC conference and the ACC. Forget about Sunday, the pros. So anyways, he was right by us. He's I guess, in town in Mount Pleasant. He recruiting
probably doing
this,
some recruiting or doing speaking, one or the other, or probably both.
No, he's recruiting, and they showed the kid he's recruiting. He's like in the top 100 of all recruits in America. He's this big, great, big defensive tackle, and he went to his basketball game last night. He can't talk to him. They're not this time of year. They can't talk to these recruits, but they can show up to their basketball games and wave to them and this kind of thing. So, anyways, I mean, it made it a special evening for us for me anyways, to see Coach Sweeney at the Hall's Chop House last night. All right,
you both know how to pick good restaurants. Put it that way.
That's right, and you know what? I mean, they. Now I had to pay for my meal. Okay, full price. They brought out to him oysters and lobster tails and appetizers and Caesar salads and a great big porterhouse and fillets, all on the house. Me, I got the check for mine. You know, nobody said, well, there's a radio guy here, too. Oh, well. Okay, well, we had a horrible day in the market. I hate to remind people, but I would say yesterday was the nastiest day so far. Why? Because interest rates went up, what, 9 basis points, something like that? And, you know, I've been saying that, hey, 1.77 around in there, that's resistance. That's the lid. But I think that lid is going to blow off of there, and I think interest rates are going to bolt right through higher. And I said that in my newsletter this past weekend. And sure enough, man, yesterday they blew up. They went to 1.87. And who's on the other side of that trade as interest rates go up? The long-duration stocks, the long-duration, the bond market, Barry, got whacked yesterday, just whacked. And, you know, we do have an inverse position in our bond fund that goes up when the bond market goes down.
Yeah, it was doing well yesterday. I had my eye on it.
Yeah. It did really well yesterday, and, of course, our inverse SARC on ARC funds did well, and our inverse NASDAQ and whatnot did well. I just think right now is a market. I don't want to be all on the short side because I think you're going to have some big, big up days coming up. I really do. I think that interest rates probably are going to settle down right now. Did it seem yesterday to be kind of a capitulation and kind of a panic day?
Certainly in the bond market. I mean, anytime the bond market moves that much, I mean, people don't think about it. The bond market's much, much bigger in terms of amount of dollars than the equity markets. I mean, it just dwarfs the equity.
It's an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, and so you know, you get a 9 basis point move. That's a big move. And then also, you know, today you've got a 20-year Treasury auction for I think they're auctioning off about $20 billion in 20-year U.S. Treasury notes. I think it happens around 1 o'clock today. So it'll be interesting to see where that ends up, right? Because that's the market purchasing those. And that's going to give us some idea of what the long end of the curve is going to look like. So,
yeah, I just had this feeling that yesterday was kind of a capitulation, panic, maybe end of selling. I think the bond market's going to stabilize here, which would be good for the stock market. And I still, you know, I can see new highs on the S&P 500 this year, but not in the high PE stocks. I think it's going to come from the low PE sectors. And even though some of these, you know, some of these bank earnings are a little soft right now, well, you know, we're looking to the future, okay? They're not yet feeling the impact of rising interest rates on their business. They're reporting earnings right now from last quarter where interest rates were extremely low. So I like the banking sector, but we're looking ahead on that, looking for rising earnings down the road, not particularly this current quarter that we're in that's being reported. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow has just gone negative. Doesn't surprise me because as I looked at the breadth of the market and the strength of the market of the individual stocks that underlie the market, it was kind of ho-hum to me. It was kind of lukewarm. The NASDAQ looked a little better, and the NASDAQ's holding on to about 100-point gain right now, mostly in Microsoft and some of these semiconductor equipment stocks that sold off yesterday. Okay, in this section of the show, this quarter, I want to talk about the bond market a little bit and oil a little bit. Okay, here is the breaking news of the day, Barry. You ready for this? Are you sitting down? German bund yields are positive for the first time in three years. Okay. So the sell-off in treasuries is not just here in the U.S., and I would also say that the inflation is not just here in the U.S. I saw the inflation numbers for the U.K. I think they were at 5.3%.
I think it was highest in 30-something years there, if I'm not somewhere in that range. Yep.
So there seems to be some kind of connection with the pandemic. The inflation rate in Germany was also about 5.3%, and interest rates are starting to go up around the world. In fact, when I was doing the newsletter, not this past week, but the week before, I was shocked to see how much international bonds. I track in the newsletter, I track Germany for sure because, it's the anchor, it's the linchpin of the economy, most of the economy in Europe. So watching those German yields are very important. And I also watch some of the trouble spots from before, Italy and Greece. And I also watch Brazil down in South America. They're like 14%, something like that.
And Japan. Japan's on there.
Yeah. Japan's an important one. And that's about it. But I saw 2 weeks ago, I said, wow, I can't believe how much these bond yields are going up around the world. We're next. And sure enough, you know, in the last 2 weeks, since the beginning of the year now, our bond yields are up 36 basis points. We started the year at 1.51. We're now at 1.87. I think that's further proof that the market looks ahead. Okay. The Fed has not acted yet, but the market has already priced in the Fed's next action, right, into the bond market. So anyways, that German bund going positive, it's been a negative return, okay? A negative interest rate, which is incredible, for the last 3 years, and now all of a sudden it went positive yesterday as Eurozone inflation hits 5.3%. Now, another sign of the time, okay? As we were downtown Charleston last night, we looked at one of our favorite pizza-slash-Italian places there on King Street. It's been closed for about 2 months. I thought, what the heck? That place is crowded all the time. Why is it closed? Well, we parked right in front of it. Sign in the window. We're sorry we're closed. We cannot maintain staffing to keep the restaurant open. They can't get enough help right now. And this is not just, you know, here. It's really not only nationwide, but worldwide. This is a very odd situation that I've never seen in my lifetime. Where you couldn't get help, and it says, well, we'll reopen when things return to normal, whenever that is, Barry.
Yeah, how do you pay rent in the interim?
I don't know.
I guess a good reserve. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a crazy time right now in the labor markets, with inflation, with shortages, empty shelves, et cetera. So now let's move to the oil markets, which remain on fire, literally on fire. Yesterday, an explosion hit an Iraqi pipeline. That's always suspicious, right? Okay. I doubt that it was just a natural occurrence because
they don't normally blow up on their own.
No, and there was been some back and forth between them and Saudi Arabia. They had, Saudi Arabia over the weekend, some Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen targeted airports and oil infrastructure in the United Arab Republic, the UAE, which these two countries do not like each other, okay? And now all of a sudden they have a mysterious explosion in Iraq. Now, why is that important? Because it's also another impact on the price of oil, which is hitting $86 per barrel today. And if I were to name one sector in the market this year that is probably the leading sector, it's the oil and gas sector. And as I look at ARC Holdings, I don't see one oil stock in there. There's got to be a driller in the Williston Basin that she could own, but as I look at Teladoc, Zoom, Roku, Coinbase, Spotify, Twilio, every one of those stocks is down so far this year, and no oil stock showing up in her portfolio. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast. You go to a tech fund, a technology mutual fund or ETF, and you're not going to find oil stocks because they're constrained. But that explosion hits the pipeline in Iraq yesterday, and that increases oil. Now, in the meantime, Permian Basin, they're ramping up down there. We talked about this yesterday. Their production on the, you know, they've got existing wells there. They're going like crazy. And now you've got oil at a seven-year high. Because of all of these various conditions that have hit the energy market. So, you know, there's a lot of good-looking oil stocks right now. What really surprises me is the strength in big oil, the big dividend players, the BPs and the Exxon Mobils and the Chevrons of the world, which continue to be vilified, right, as companies and the environment and everything. But at the same time, they continue to be some of the best stocks in the market right now. Okay, here's another little story that we'll end with here before we got to take a break. Affirm. Do you remember Affirm, AFRM, the buy now, pay later stock that we owned?
Yeah, skyrocketed. Yeah, skyrocketed, and then it's kind of come back to earth a bit.
Boy, I'll say, and, you know, I would just say that this points out the need for some kind of sell rule or discipline. I was looking at what I sold that stock for. Let me find that. We owned it in our ultra, and how far it's gone down, Barry, since we sold it, okay? It's a dang good thing that, you know, I'm minding the mint here and watching these stocks and trying to protect, too, because you can't just watch a stock. That's another problem I have with the ARC funds is no kind of sell discipline. Now,
I
understand.
We sold it at $99.15.
Okay, where is it right now?
It was 66 yesterday.
Okay, I sold it at 99 for a profit, I think. and now it's at 66. You see what I'm saying? All right, we'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And the anemic little bounce in the market is fading quickly. The Dow is now down 90, and the Nasdaq's only up 30 points. I've seen a lot of sectors really go south here right now in the market. The banking sector is under some pressure today with bank earnings coming in. And as I said earlier, you know, this is not the earnings reports that are expected to really be stellar. You know, the banks stand to benefit from higher interest rates. But you've had some earnings reports here that missed. Goldman Sachs, very notable miss yesterday. And I think U.S. Bank today, USB is down about 6 or 7%. I'm looking for the banks to benefit going forward, okay, in the from a rising interest rate environment. So they're going to be a little shaky in the meantime, but I just think that's going to be a low PE, short duration sector that, you know, pays dividend yields for the most part, that should be pretty well positioned as we continue in this rising interest rate environment. All right. You know, another sign of the times, you know, on the way downtown and through Mount Pleasant, I looked at the auto dealerships. Barry, next time you drive by the Ford dealer here in Mount Pleasant, I saw like four cars out on their lot.
Yeah, I noticed that that too. No inventory.
You can have any color you want as long as it's white and as long as it's an F-50 truck and as long as there's nothing. There's no inventory whatsoever. It's absolutely crazy. And in addition to that, you know, Ford announced, I see the auto dealers are under pressure today, the chip shortage. And then, of course, we drove a little further, Baker Mercedes-Benz dealership. He had like three cars parked out on his lot. The chip shortage continues to hit autos. Ford idles a plant. Toyota hints at missing their guidance this year. This is crazy. The well-publicized chip shortage has been a headwind across the auto sector for months. However, shortages appear to be cutting deeper. What is going on in this world? You know, I mean, the supply chain seems to be getting worse rather than better. Toyota is guiding downwards on their production expectations, while Ford idles another plant. And I see that Ford stock today is down 4.8% today on that news. So the chip shortage continues. And boy, if you're in the market for a new car, and that's one of the inflationary items, was used cars, because people are having to resort.
Yeah, 33% or something, I think, is what we looked at year over year, 33% increase, or it may have been closer to 40% increase in used cars, which is astronomical.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no chip shortage in the used car area of the market. Okay, I'm also reading that Ford, which owns a big piece of Rivian, I was looking at Rivian stock, it has really been hammered. Rivian got as high as 180, about 4 or 5 days after it went public at 78. And Rivian's hitting a new post IPO low of $72 per share. But I guess Ford recorded, you know, the price of their shares as of the end of the year. They're going to record a gain of $8.2 billion which, of course, that's gone down since they recorded that gain on their equity investment in Rivian. So, you know, that's another long duration sector, and you know, Blink Charging and Romeo Power,
Plug,
and, Plug Charge Power. Point, Plug yep. Power, Fuel Cell Energy, Rivian, Lucid Motors. Let's check in on Lucid right now. Lucid's held up a little better than the others, actually. I think they're probably a little bit closer than Rivian is, maybe. I don't know. Something's going better at Lucid than the others. But that is still a very long-duration, tough place to be invested in this current market. Now, Intel. Okay, I've been watching Intel. Intel is trying to turn the ship around. Intel has fallen, I wouldn't say on hard times, but they definitely lost their leadership in the chip market quite a while ago, and has been just kind of a sideways stock for a long, long time. I see they're going to take on NVIDIA. Intel's going to unveil Bitcoin mining chips next month. Now, I don't know if that's going to turn the ship around, Barry, but they're going to take a shot at NVIDIA. And I just wanted to mention that because the chip sector has all of a sudden, you know, the chip sector has kind of been Teflon coated a little bit in this big tech sell-off, but it's even had its problems here the last several days. AMD is, you know, pretty weak. That's a very weak stock right now. AMD's P.E. ratio is 55, and that's a headwind right now. And the reason I continue to watch Intel is Intel's P.E. ratio is 9, okay, single-digit P.E. ratio and a dividend yield of 2.5%, and now they're going to go into NVIDIA's business. Now, let's just compare Intel with NVIDIA side by side. NVIDIA's P.E. ratio, Barry, is 67. AMD is 57 and Intel is 9. So now you know why I have Intel on my screen watching it. They need a turnaround play, but I don't think a Bitcoin mining chip's going to do it, but they do need a play. Okay, one other one here. This one I've watched, interesting. This is the guy that was on over the weekend with the controversy about saying he could care less about the Uyghur Muslims. Well, SoFi is one of his holdings, and, of course, the L.A. Rams play in SoFi Stadium. SoFi got regulatory approval to become a national bank yesterday. That's a pretty big deal. And the stock is up 11.8% today, 11.8%. So we'll be watching the Rams this weekend, and I'll also be watching SoFi, S-O-F-I, although I'm not a real big fan of their CEO. Okay, another area of the market that seems to be doing okay, the healthcare stocks. The managed, like United Healthcare, UNH.
Mm-hmm.
They had pretty good earnings today, and they're not all that expensive, you know, like the tech stocks. UNH is up 1.3% today, and I also noted pretty good action in Anthem, ANTM. That's a good-looking chart on Anthem. P.E. ratio of 19. That may be one more sector you can add to your list of, you know, fairly low-priced. Is it fair to say that those are short-duration stocks, Barry?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, when you're looking at the healthcare sector, it's a defensive sector, right? By
yes.
Historically, a little bit trickier to play, I think, in a COVID world, right? It's just
right.
There's a lot of noise around in terms of how that plays into their earnings, how that, you know, whether it's even still some forms of government stimulus, right? In terms of what they pay per COVID patient, that type of thing. But yeah, historically, a very defensive sector, and they're bringing. Think of the fact that they're bringing in cash flow on a you know, daily, weekly, monthly basis, right? Quarterly basis. So certainly a shorter duration name, and historically a defensive name.
Yeah, well, Anthem is expected to make $29 per share in earnings this right. year. Yeah. $29 per share, okay? Compare that with some of the cloud stocks that are going to make like 2 cents, 3 cents. Anthem's going to make $29 per share. Those earnings are there. They're pretty reliable. It's been a 20% grower over the last 5 years of those earnings, headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana, where the big national championship game was played. I think Georgia beating, who'd they beat? Alabama. Anthem also pays a pretty good dividend of 1.0%. So, yeah, I mean, I think the oil sector this year, the financial, the bank sector, and I think you could throw in the big HMOs like Anthem, United, and others into that mix of, you know, fitting the profile of short-duration stocks where the earnings are there, the dividends are there now, not 5 years down the road. Okay, we'll be right back with some stocks jumping off the page today. If there are any, we'll see. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I hate to say it, Barry, but the NASDAQ has now gone negative, okay? It was up 125 points, and obviously people using that opportunity to continue to pair their exposure to NASDAQ stocks. The Dow is down 39 right now. The S&P is down 3, and the NASDAQ's now down 32 points, so that's about a 150-point turnaround since we started the day. I didn't have much faith in today's bounce as I looked at a lot of individual stocks. It looked pretty anemic to me. But there are a couple areas of the market that are kind of jumping off the page for me today. I'm going to begin with an inverse. How about that? An inverse ETF. You know, I've been watching the small cap stocks for a long time. They can't get any traction whatsoever. And I got to believe by nature that the small cap stocks are longer in duration than large cap stocks that have been around for a long time and are making money now. You know, a lot of the small caps are out there on the edge a bit, and I got to believe that makes them more vulnerable in a rising – I don't think they do well in a rising interest rate environment. Is that a fair statement, do you think, Barry?
Well, their cost of capital is going to be higher inherently than your large cap stocks. So, of course, any kind of loans, any type of interest rate increases, a lot of them, you know, a lot of those companies will have revolving lines of credit. Or loans that need to be, kind of replaced more often, and so their cost of capital is more expensive. So that's usually kind of a big difference, certainly in a rising rate environment for them. All else being equal.
Yeah. So we, just as a hedge, I figured, you know, this small cap sector as an asset class is very vulnerable. And I kind of saw it technically. That's one of the charts I look at every week and put in my newsletter is the small cap index. And I saw, you know, this thing looks really vulnerable, like it's going to break down. Well, it is. The small caps are down 10% today as measured by the Russell 2000. So we have an inverse Russell 2000 ETF, which is TWM. It's traded 1.1 million shares so far today, and it's leveraged 2-to-1. Okay, so if the small caps go down 0.5% or 1%, this thing would be down 2% or up 2%. Has an inverse relationship. Well, that's a good looking chart on TWM. And that is one of the big hedges that we own right now. And like I say, I don't think you can be all long the market. That's for sure right now. You could be sitting in all cash. That's not a bad position to be right now. But, you know, I'm trying to make money from the weakness in the market, the weak areas, and then try to make money from the areas that, you know, on the long side that will benefit from these conditions. And I think eventually that's going to play out pretty well. We'll see. But anyways, the short position we have on the small cap stocks and TWM, that one stands out to me today. Very nice move and threatening a 52-week breakout to the upside here today. The other one that all of a sudden is waking up, okay, there's been several false moves that never panned out, and I'm going to talk about GLD and SLV. One is the gold ETF, GLD, which just measures gold prices. That thing's breaking out today. That's a very solid move. And I'm just looking underneath at the gold stocks. Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D. That ought to be an easy symbol to remember. Nice, excellent move. Look at the move today on G-O-L-D, Barrick Gold. You know, I've wondered for a long time why gold has not responded favorably to, you know, the COVID pandemic, the shutdowns, the rising interest rates, the inflation especially. I guess I have to look at the dollar today and see what it's doing. The dollar's pretty steady, so maybe, just maybe, and there's also, you know, some world crises going on, if you haven't noticed. You've got Russia massing on the Ukraine border. They could strike at any moment. Gold likes world crises like that. And so that's just something to keep your eye on. And then the other chart that, you know, is jumping off the page at me today is silver, SLV. Which, you know, was recently hitting new 52-week lows. All of a sudden, it's got some spring in its step. I saw this start to move yesterday. Silver, SLV, is starting to look kind of interesting. And then I just noticed one little gold stock as an example of a pretty powerful move today. Goldfield, South Africa gold stock, GFI. So those are the ones. There's not a lot that looks good today, so those were pretty easy to find. They do stick out like a sore thumb today in what's another very weak market day. Some interesting times that we're in right now. Well, you get the newsletter. We talked a lot about this over the weekend. You have 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you're in long-duration bond funds, in long-duration types of stocks, you continue to be in harm's way. I think interest rates are going higher. I think they might mellow out here for a while. I think we've had a big move in just a few weeks here, up 36 basis points. But I think it's something we're going to have to contend with for the next several years. A new rising interest rate environment, something we haven't seen in, what, over two decades? So if you'd like to talk to a certified financial planner about these different times, you know, different times require different strategies, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And like I say, you get 2 free weeks of our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll continue to watch interest rates for you and gold prices and the border in Ukraine and all the different factors that come into play and impact the markets, the economy. You got labor shortages. You've got empty car lots at new car dealers. Very, very unusual times that we are in right now. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite, GundersonCapital.com, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.